Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live.
Oh, good, we made it.
The live, what do we call it?
Call-in radio show. Call-in
radio talk program where you can control the airwaves. I'm sorry, I'm having a technical issue here that I'm...
Perfect timing.
Yeah, I'm not... Well, we were doing...
Here, let me see if I can give out the number while you're doing
stuff. Yeah, please do.
To take control of those airwaves, please dial 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And if we like you, we'll put you on the air to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about.
And if we don't, we probably will put you on the air to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
We might just leave you on hold for the duration of the show.
What? Just talk again into that thing?
No.
Talk? Yeah?
What? Talk some more?
Talk some more.
Okay.
You sound quiet to me.
Could be.
Probably because I did the mic check and I have a much less booming voice than the Mountaineer.
I'm looking for something else because something is going awry right now.
So, and the Fed? Yes or no, Pickles?
I don't care.
Oh, honestly. Okay. All right.
Like, no, I really did care before the invention of Bitcoin
to
end the Fed. At the moment, there's basically a fight between the European Central Bank and people attached to them and the World Economic Forum. So that's the sort of communist side.
Okay.
And the fascist side in the Federal Reserve and the American banking elite. And there's basically this big fight between the two of them over who gets to run the world.
Okay.
So I don't care who loses. I just hope that they inflict as many, points of damage on the other side before they go down.
And that, what is this, D&D?
And that chick who beat up the IRS agent shouting, end the Fed, like wife material or pass?
I haven't heard about that one.
Oh, okay.
But it sounds like wife material just based on that.
She was arrested for beating up an IRS agent and shouting, end the Fed the whole time.
So it's a point in her favor for sure. I mean, that's a good starting point.
She was pretty cute.
What's her number?
I don't know. 8675-603-283-6160.
Okay.
All right. For a good time call.
I believe.
Yeah, I mean, so ending the Fed is not even remotely sufficient.
Okay.
Is really the problem.
All right.
So, I mean, there may have been a time where that was the best thing we could do, the best we could hope for. But at this point, it's not so much a matter of ending that because you end up with the Hydra problem, right? You cut down this head, two grow in its place. Whereas, if you replace it completely with an economic system that has no censorship and is stable, I mean, so gold was a good money. It was a solid, hard money. And we now have money that is harder than that.
Okay. I would still, diversify into gold and silver. Just in case.
Well, I mean... It seems to me that
nuclear winter EMP still want to get something.
Yeah, then there's no need for gold at that point.
What would you trade with?
Bullets.
Okay.
And the beauty of bullets is that you can trade either peacefully or not peacefully.
All right.
And if you have gold and I have bullets, soon I will have both gold and bullets.
What if I have bullets made of gold?
Ooh. Lone Ranger, eat your heart out.
No, you're thinking of bankers. The Lone Ranger.
Oh, nice.
I believe I have solved the aforementioned technicalities.
Ooh, does that mean we can introduce ourselves?
I believe it does, yes. Right. Would you like to introduce us?
I get to do that?
Sure.
All right. We have the Reverend, Lord, Doctor, etc., Captain, Kick-Ass, Esquire, Buckshot, if you will.
Close enough.
Here.
And Richie Rich.
Present.
And who the hell are you?
Oh, I'm Peakless Mountaineer.
Oh, okay, very good. We missed you and last week, bro.
We are.
We missed you last week.
Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions.
Well, Free Talk Live Saturday show.
All right. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's, you know, we can be both at the same time.
We are saving the world, so.
Or is the world Wild saving Stallions. Us?
But clearly, I do not possess access to time travel devices, or I would be at last week's show.
But clearly. All right, so. I want to talk about this first and foremost.
Do it.
From Cointelegraph.com, the IRS lists 4 crypto crimes amongst its top cases.
Crypto crimes.
In 2023, you'll never guess who's in the top 4.
Ian Freeman.
That's right.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Ian Freeman.
Sam Bankman-Fried is not in the top 4.
Is Larry in there?
Let's find out. Okay. It's a short article, but like the reason I'm bringing this up is because the founder of this radio program, the poster child for Bitcoin evangelicalism, is that a word?
Evangelism.
Whatever. I'm making up new words as I go.
Hey, as Don King said, if you can say it and I know what it means, it's a word.
Evangelicality.
Evangelicator. Whatever. You know, obviously one of the... I got into Bitcoin because of Free Talk Live and because of Ian Freeman and Mark Edge and all the other people on Free Talk Live talking about crypto and discussing it and giving their opinions on it and all that kind of stuff. And like, oh my God, did he get railroaded?
Oh yeah.
Right? So, because here's a technology that there has never been any law written about ever.
Right.
And all of a
sudden. Until they started asking for it.
You like it. So
regulate us, please.
That this is a payment. Yeah. You're willing to do stuff for it, and that means that it's a payment, and that means all of our laws about payments. Yep, yep. Can't be a religious thing, even though you religiously believe in it. It certainly can't just be, you know, free speech, even though it was determined in an American court that code is speech.
Right.
Oh, no, see... It's only money is only speech when it helps the establishment.
Well,
I mean, Hobby Lobby, that one pretty much solved that one for us.
Just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, when they determined that since money is speech and a corporation is a person, yeah. They have a right to put their money where they want to in terms of
okay.
Like.
Okay, all right. I think I remember that now. Yeah, now that you mention it.
Just to play devil's advocate, okay. They're not criminalizing. All of Bitcoin, right, or cryptocurrency.
They are saying you cannot do this without a license. So, yes, they are absolutely criminalizing all cryptocurrency.
Well, again,
they're saying that if you trade using this, you are an unlicensed money transmitter.
I don't think that's what they're saying, because they're not stopping Coinbase from trading or any of the
other time.
Right, but even the ones, even the peer-to-peer ones, right, weren't shut down for that reason. They weren't calling everyone on local bitcoins a money transmitter just when they hit a certain threshold.
They kind of are. They're only going after the ones who hit a certain monetary threshold.
Right.
You have to remember that the investigation on the Crypto 6 was over 6 years.
I mean, your argument is like, well, there was coke at a party I was at last week, so cocaine couldn't possibly be illegal. Well, they're going to go after the big guys.
No, I'm saying if they decriminalized marijuana, right, and you had small possessions of it, you were not a criminal.
Yep, yep.
But if you were, like, defrauding people of marijuana, right, and not selling them what you said you did.
You're like, man, here's a bag of oregano. I mean, weed.
Right, right. Like, that would be
that's
the fraud.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a violation of the non-aggression principle.
Understood.
All right, so IRS lists 4 crypto crimes amongst its top cases in 2023. The cases included investigations into the Silk Road Marketplace, OneCoin, which isn't that the one where like the lady disappeared, nobody knows where she's at, the fraudulent like never really materialized, isn't that OneCoin?
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. See, and in that, what do we know? Does it give a background of that case?
I think it does. Oyster, okay. It's just listing the things okay. right now. Investigations into the Silk Road Marketplace, OneCoin, Oyster Protocol founder Bruno Block, and a money laundering scheme using Bitcoin kiosks is the sub-headline here. The Criminal Investigation Unit, unit of the United States Internal Revenue Service, also known as IRS, or theirs, as I like to call them, has listed 4 crypto-related cases amongst the top 10 of its, quote, most prominent and high-profile investigations, unquote, in 2023. In a December 11th notice, the IRS, which also spells theirs, said there were 4 significant cases in 2023 involving the seizure of cryptocurrency, fraudulent practices, money laundering, and other schemes. Coming in at the 3rd most high-profile investigation in the past year was OneCoin founder Carl Sebastian Greenwood, who was sentenced to 20 years in prison in September for his role in marketing and selling a fraudulent crypto asset. So I believe that's the guy who's the lady disappeared.
Right, and that's kind of my point, right? It's not that it's a cryptocurrency. It's that it's being fraudulently sold.
Right, they basically were like, "Hey, everybody, buy!" But they're like, "Buy in into our cryptocurrency, but you don't actually get anything up front. We have to right. create it first, right?" Like they were taking people's money without giving them even so much as a token.
Right,
right. They couldn't even get anything in a wallet or anything like that.
I mean, they busted that medical chick right for promising medical research that she had no evidence to back up, and,
right?
And she defrauded people,
right?
Right, but we're not criminalizing the entire medical field.
Well, yet.
Well,
they're not.
Yet. They're not, yet. Sure.
Other cases included Ian Freeman, a Ooh. New Hampshire resident sentenced to 8 years in prison for operating a money laundering scheme.
Right.
Using Bitcoin kiosks and failing to pay taxes from 2016 to 2019.
And again, just to play devil's advocate, we know that in that case, that is untrue. But that's what right. they're criminalizing.
It right. was it's even not, charged with money laundering?
Like
I don't remember that being on
oh, yeah,
the list.
No, yeah, it was. Yeah,
that
it,
was a big one. Was,
yeah. Mm. Here's the thing about the Ian Freeman case is that it's so ludicrous and people are getting promoted because of it.
Okay.
Like that douchebag, what the hell's his name? Seth A-Frame.
Okay.
He got I think they're going to make him a freaking judge.
Okay.
Right? This Whoa. Is the guy who, like discombobulated, like when he's, the judge is asking him a question, he's like, I don't know you. Like, oh my God, like, I can't, like, if I'd have gone to school with him, we would have made fun of him because he's not smart, you know? And then I'm trying to remember the broad's name. It'll come back to me at some point, but they've promoted her to like the cryptocurrency investigation task force or okay. whatever. Like they're making her the quote crypto queen unquote
Ooh.
Within like the FBI or whatever. Oh. Right? Like they're gonna put her. She's the grand poobah of all cryptocurrency investigations now.
I mean, if she's incompetent, good.
Right.
Right. That means not many other people are gonna get
caught. This is part of why we win. I mean, they keep elevating these incompetent people to the position of going after people who are, being peaceful.
Yeah.
So at least we have incompetent people coming after us.
Now, I will say this. This is an overall thought, but it applies here.
Okay.
Right? When it comes to, like, the credibility of any source where you gather information,
mm-hmm.
when they are wrong about something you have firsthand knowledge of, right, or expertise in, then you should call into question everything else that they have said that you don't have first-hand knowledge or expertise in, and just because you didn't have the information. Right? Yeah. Like, they're wrong about Ian, and so maybe they're wrong about most other things and occasionally get one right.
Yeah. Has it been a year since the trial?
Oh, I don't know. Well,
because I remember going and sitting, spectating, if you will,
yeah.
In the courtroom, in the federal court in Concord, New Hampshire. And I just kept thinking to myself, man, this jury just wants to get the F out of here and go home for the holidays.
Could be there.
Like, it seems
to me. Yeah, I think it's been a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, like, no, I mean, that's exactly what happened, too. Like, the jury can't rush the trial, but...
They can rush the deliberation.
Man, did they deliberate for nothing? You know what I mean? Like, we came in, and the jury were given their instructions, and, like, they had enough time to, like, go get lunch at the taxpayer's expense, you know, order in something or whatever, you know, have a discussion, maybe a small one, and, like, you know, maybe, you know, time for coffee after lunch, and they're like, nope, guilty. Like, there was no, like, there was reasonable doubt all over this thing, in my opinion.
Okay.
Right? After hearing, and, like, I was there for most of the days of the trial. I missed a couple, but, like, I was there for most of them. And I had reasonable doubt, just even as, like, a person trying to, like, play devil's advocate. You know, like, if I erase my libertarian, my anarchist mind, and I'm a statist, and I'm sitting as a juror, I'm trying to be objective, I'm trying to take in all this evidence, and quote, judge it, unquote. Do I have a reasonable doubt as to whether or not he was guilty of the charges? Every charge I had reasonable doubt on.
Okay.
Because the prosecution had a bunch of hearsay, and their evidence was weak AF.
Well, now that it's basically over, right, up front, I really thought they were going to get him on the fraud charges. Like, I thought a case could be made for fraud, and then those are the ones that they dropped.
Yeah.
I went, oh, that's interesting. Like, I thought that was like the money shot, you know, when you talk about, like, oh, well we told the banks that it was rare coins.
It's weird.
Yeah, that was the one where I'm like, you what?
Right.
Well, they are rare.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
There's only 21 million of them.
There is a sensory experience.
There's only 21 million of them.
That people associate with the phrase rare coins. Now, I get that technically you could describe bitcoins as coins. No one does.
Coins in the name.
Okay. No one calls them that.
I call them bitcoin all the time.
Yeah, bitcoin.
Yeah.
Single word. It's not even hyphenated. So no one calls these things coins, but okay, fine.
And
you
even
could technically do that, but that is not what people think of when you say the phrase rare coins.
Well, so that's a semantic, though. It absolutely is a semantic. Your argument is the same with which the prosecution actually won the jury over, and that is by showing a wallet where, when a transaction is made, the number goes up, and that means money was transmitted, unquote, which is not true.
Mm.
But that's what it appears to the common folk who don't understand the technology behind it.
Right.
Right? If you don't understand what Bitcoin is, you can't say whether or not it's rare.
Really, this was the Dunning-Kruger effect. These people have so little knowledge of this thing that they believe themselves to have complete necessary knowledge of this thing.
Agreed.
Let's parallel this to the actual Liberty Dollar from back in the day. Do you remember this thing?
The Bernard von Nothaus
Liberty Dollar.
Yes.
One of the reasons he got in trouble was because the method of which he tried to introduce his currency into circulation was deemed to be fraudulent.
Because he used the word dollar.
No, that wasn't it. It was the drop. He said, when you go out to spend this, right, you have this 1 ounce of silver, spot value for the ounce itself was around $20.
Yep.
He stamped it at $50, and he said, when you go to a merchant, just have them open their hand and drop it into their hand. And then if they take it for 50 and give you change for 50, that's on them because they've accepted it.
Mm.
It wasn't that it's an MSRP on it. It was the mechanism by which he tried to introduce it.
How does that apply to this?
Because the method of which he tried to introduce it was fraudulent by getting people to think they were getting an American coin, a $50 American coin minted by the United States, when it was a privately issued piece of silver, spot valued closer to 20.
Okay, I'm going to ask again, how does that apply to the Ian Freeman Crypto 6 case?
Because when you, as Pekla said, when you say rare coin, even if Bitcoin was hyphenated, it's a qualifier, right? This is not a coin. This is a Bitcoin. It is like a coin, but it's got this caveat to it that separates itself from actual coin. It's a Bitcoin.
And
it's a digital coin. It's a bits. It's bits as far as computer technology, bits and bytes and all that. It is not a real coin. That's why it's got a qualifier.
Yeah, I still don't buy it. Moving on.
I think that was the most damning part about it.
And they dropped that.
Right.
And when they dropped it, that's like, oh, this is, it's in the bag.
And even there, like, I get where you're coming from. There's an argument on both sides of that. That is gray area. That's fuzzy. And that, to me,
was probably why they dropped it, right? Because they didn't want to have that argument.
But gray area and fuzzy, right, it means you're trying to do something different.
I also think they dropped that because they didn't want to have the argument as to whether or not code is free speech.
Okay. I don't care why they dropped it.
It's just me.
Hold on. I don't follow you
I'm
there.
I'm speculating that they dropped that because they didn't want to have the argument that code is free speech. If they say that, Bitcoin is not coin, it's a fake coin or it's a virtual coin, then they have to define what Bitcoin is. In order to define what Bitcoin is, they have to say that it is code, it is software. And if they say, if the court ever says that Bitcoin is code, oh my gosh, all of the Bitcoin cases go out the window, can be retried, all that kind of thing. Because once they say that it is code, then we already know code is free speech.
Okay.
According to the U.S. government precedent.
Yeah, and then they have to either say they were wrong and Microsoft owes people a bunch of money, which I don't think they're going to say.
Right.
Or they have to, you know, let these peaceful people go free.
And I will go back to the part of the gray area and the fuzzy.
Yep.
You can't have gray area and fuzzy in the middle of a transaction, right? The contract itself, there has to be a meeting of the mind.
In the transaction, yes. I'm talking about in the court case.
I got
that
it.
The area is, you know, fuzzy
But when you say, when you put rare coin on a, you know, bank form, that the I'm in the business of trading rare coins.
And there's the issue, too. So it wasn't the bank coming after him for, hey, you told us this was something other than it could be. And that's like, maybe there's an argument there. No, this was the federal government said, you didn't do the things that we tell everyone to do about these things over here. And we've decided that these things over here include this novel technology.
Yep. So, other cases included Ian Freeman, New Hampshire resident, sentenced to 8 years in prison for operating a money laundering scheme. Like there's two things there. Money laundering and then scheme. Right? Like, I don't think he's guilty of either one or both of those combined, but they are, again, semantics. The government body was also behind an investigation of Oyster Protocol founder Amir Elmani, known as Bruno Black, for tax evasion related to minting and selling Pearl tokens. 603-283-6160. We've got lots more Free Talk Live on the way.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
The USA News update. Three Israeli hostages reportedly waving a white flag were tragically killed by Israel's military in the Gaza Strip on Friday. Questions have risen globally about the misidentification of these captives, who were taken by Hamas on October 7th and were fatally perceived as a threat by Israeli troops. The incident occurred in an area of intense recent fighting, leading to concerns about the tragic consequences of the misidentification. The end of the weekend could be a little rough along the east coast of the country. Dave Collins explains.
A significant storm is moving up the east coast with heavy rain and strong winds, causing some flooding and downed trees and wires and unseasonably warm temps Sunday into Monday. While weather can change at a moment's notice, it looks like the track of the storm will be from the Chesapeake Bay area to the southern New England area.
President Biden's job approval rating has reached another record low. According to a recent Pew Research Center poll, only 33% of Americans approve of the president's job performance. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What kind of a radio program might you be listening to right now?
The free kind.
The live
talk kind.
And the live kind. That's right. It's Free Talk Live. We are a live call-in radio program where you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind.
But you got to call. Please call.
603-283-6160. That's the number that you should... you know, tattoo on your firstborn's forehead or whatever it is. You know, put on, it'd be cool if you put it on one of those, like, bug guards. You know how, like, when you're driving down the road and the ambulance is behind you and they write it backwards?
Yeah.
So that you can read it forward in your rearview mirror? Mm-hmm. If somebody put, like, Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160 on one of those, that'd be cool.
There was a website called, like, leftlanedrivers.com, and they sold those. But it said, move over with an arrow pointing to the right. And nice. Being the cheapskate that I am, I just printed out something backwards at work that said, move over. I taped it up there.
Nice. Well done. Yeah. With a little bit of ingenuity, a lot of things can be accomplished for a small budget.
Yeah.
It's true.
But it was just cool. You know, I'm in the left lane. You move over.
One of my pet peeves, of course, is... somebody who's in the furthest left-hand lane with their left turn signal on.
Okay.
Like, they can't go
almost
any...
Almost wish they would.
Can't go any further left, but, man, they got that signal on, and they're driving slow. Like, if they're going fast in the left lane with the left signal on, I don't care.
Yep.
Right? As long as they're going faster than, well, everybody in the right-hand lane, you know? But if they're in the furthest left-hand lane, and they're going slow with the left signal on, oh, God, that's annoying. I just... My road rage starts bubbling.
I had a coworker that said, like, if I'm in the left lane, I'm doing 85 and I'm not moving out of the left lane. I'm like, well, you're a jerk because I might want to be doing 90 and now you're obstructing traffic. Just move over.
Yeah, if somebody
I don't care how fast you're going, just don't be in the left lane unless you're passing.
Yeah, if somebody suddenly comes up behind you, you're in the left lane, you think you're going faster than somebody, all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror, there's somebody right behind you on your tail. GTF over, man.
Yeah, just move on.
Like, just, let them pass. That's what the left lane is for.
Don't block traffic by being this wall of car that no one can get past.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go the same speed as the people in the right lane, be in the right lane.
It's embarrassing that we have to talk about this on
track. And that's why that thing is cool. It says move over, because then they check their mirror and they're like, oh, I'm not as cool as I thought I was.
My 85 is clearly insufficient.
It is. It absolutely is.
We've been talking about this article from Cointelegraph.com. The IRS lists 4 crypto crimes amongst its top cases in 2023. And, of course, one of them is the founder of this show, Ian Freeman, who is currently in Merrimack County Jail right now. He's awaiting something that resembles...
A restitution hearing
from the federal government, which is basically the government... going to determine how much money Ian Freeman owes to no victims.
Okay. Can we talk about that for a minute?
What?
Well, the restitution hearing.
Okay.
Because during the last hearing, right, he offered to pay the fine to the quote-unquote victims.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was, like, strategically wise before a restitution hearing is coming up. Right? Because it's almost admitting that there are victims who should be compensated.
What he was saying there is consistent with his principles, in my opinion. What he was saying there was, look, I will pay money to, you know, make anybody who may have been harmed, even though he had no part in their harm, but I want that money to not go to you, government. I want that money to go to people.
Okay.
Right. To if somebody was victimized, if somebody did lose their money because of some romance scammer who talked them out of their savings and convinced them to buy Bitcoin in order to do it, that he would rather his money go to that person than his money go to the government, to the federal government.
All right.
It's my understanding of why he made that statement.
I get the why.
Yeah, I'm with him there.
Strategically.
No, I'm completely with him on this one.
Okay.
Like, okay, I have to pay money. Could I not pay money to a kidnapping murderer? That would be great.
Got it.
Yep.
I got it, but he's got a restitution hearing coming up, and he's already offered money. He's already offered to pay money to those whom he has not harmed.
I don't recall the order in which these things happened. If he... said something like, if there is to be a fine, I would like the money to go directly to, you know, victim X, Y, and Z. Or if they said, hey, there's going to be a restitution hearing, and then, like, I think he said it before, like, it, sort of, what's the word, anticipating a possible monetary penalty.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh, no, we're going to have a hearing about that later. And so that's kind of where we're at now. We're waiting for that to unfold, I believe.
All right.
If I recall events correctly in the correct order. So if you...
Even if you are correct, right, it may not have been the wisest thing retrospectively.
How so?
Well, I already made my case because the restitution hearing is coming afterwards, and he's already agreed to pay money to those whom he has not...
He
hasn't
agreed. He offered.
Offered. Well, offer, agree, whatever...
I don't know that those are the same thing in the eyes of the law.
Okay.
Well,
now we're semantics again.
Oh, of course, but that's right. What court is, right? Court is a whole bunch of semantics.
Okay. So he already offered to pay money to people whom he has not harmed before they're about to decide how much money he owes to people whom he has not harmed.
I don't know that that's true. I think what he said, and I'm paraphrasing because nothing was recorded except by the court here.
Got it.
So I'm going off memory.
If I'm going to pay a fine,
said,
I'd rather it go to the people who lost
said,
money.
If there is to be a fine, whatever that is, I would prefer it go directly to
the end people. He didn't agree. He stipulated a preference.
Yes.
Okay, so let's work backwards again.
Okay.
If we're going to go all semantic all the way back.
Let's do it.
He stipulated a preference to pay money to those whom he has not victimized before being told how much he has to pay money to those whom he has not victimized. I don't care what word you use.
Okay, what?
The logic, it's the same idea.
You are correct, in fact, but in my opinion of what he said was, if you're going to take my money,
yes,
right.
They're going to take his money.
If I can have some say in it, I'd like to.
Right.
And I would like it to not go to you.
I got it.
I want it to go to these people.
Understood. And whether or not he knew that there was going to be a restitution hearing to follow that, right? The fact that there is now a restitution hearing to follow that is bad optics for his claim that he victimized no one.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the court is going to do everything they possibly can to give this thing horrible optics all across the board.
Yeah, I got it.
Because it's one of their top four cases, apparently.
Right. And I, you know, again, this is personal experience now on a much smaller scale. Right. Like, I paid a fine to the food bank in Hawaii for some nonsense.
Really?
Yeah. But it was
okay, what kind of nonsense?
I don't remember. It was some reckless driving or some traffic. Whatever.
So speeding. How did you end up paying money to the food bank? Did you stipulate that?
Was yes.
Okay. So you went to some sort of a court thing, and they were like, we want you to pay $100. And you were like, well, I'll give $100 to this food bank over here. And they were like, sure.
Sort of.
Okay.
But it like they finally agreed to like the payment to the food bank the day I was turning myself in to go to jail for a month.
Okay.
Right? I said, like, it's not about the money. If you don't want me to have this money, I have more than enough in my backpack.
Mm.
Right, I've got the fine you want in my backpack. I am not going to give it to you.
Mm.
So if you want to put me in jail for 30 days, that's fine. But I have offered, and maybe my attorney wasn't clear with the offer, the public defender, right? I will give this to like the charity of your choice. And like that day, the judge went, oh, in that case, go make a donation to the food bank. Come back in 2 weeks with your receipt, and then that'll settle this.
All right, so the other portion of this sentence is operating a money laundering scheme using Bitcoin kiosks, which, no, that's false, right? What he was convicted of was not money laundering using kiosks. He was convicted of money laundering using a website known as, I think, localbitcoins.com. And that was like the kiosks were never shown to be fraudulent.
Well, they collected them as evidence.
They did, but they were never shown as the kiosks themselves.
Don't you understand? This is a sophisticated cyber criminal. Right. All of the things that he was doing was part of the scheme.
But that's not the second part. The second part of this is failing to pay taxes. From 2016 to 2019. Now, when the IRS brought their witnesses and did their tabulation to like, oh, well, this is the money that he brought in, and this is the transactions that, you know, we tracked via localbitcoins.com, and here's a spreadsheet with all the transactions and the amount of money and the percentage, and he charged, you know, some percent above whatever the transaction cost was, and that's his, quote, profit margin, unquote, that he therefore made X amount of dollars per year over this course of, what is it, 2016?
6 years.
16, 17, 18, 4 years.
Okay.
This four-year period. And the defense, of course, was like, okay, so, you know, you've done very well by putting together this spreadsheet and putting together these numbers of, you know, the amounts in dollars of these transactions that happened, but isn't it possible that Ian Freeman owed no taxes at all? And the answer to that was yes. It is possible. So they presented a whole bunch of evidence to say to tell the jury that, yeah, this guy didn't pay taxes and is therefore a tax evader, but they never proved it because the people they put on the stand themselves said, oh, it's totally possible you didn't know anything.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you would file a return.
Yeah. And, well, so that is, to my mind, a perfect example of why it is astonishing that they didn't deliberate on this and that there was no room for doubt. Like, we're talking about taxes. I mean, it is so complicated that people can't do it. It is so complicated that people whose job to do that frequently screw it up. So the fact that we have someone in court saying, oh, it's entirely possible you didn't owe any taxes at all.
Right.
I mean, right there, that is at least doubt.
Very reasonable, yeah. I might add. Right. If you're going to look for things that might be construed as reasonable doubt, the IRS themselves going, yes, it's possible he didn't owe any taxes at all.
Well, and then if they move on that, then you just downgrade the charge to willful failure to file, right? And then you just string them up on that one.
Well, that sounds like a lower sentence, at least.
It's a totally different, totally different charge.
Totally different charge.
And one that they didn't even, like, it wasn't even mentioned.
Well, because they got him on the tax evasion. Right. You don't, again, you don't negotiate the lower until you got the no on the higher.
Yeah. Let's get this one out of the way. It's Skeeter calling. I'm sure he wants to talk to Richie Rich. But maybe not.
Because I'm your boy.
Let's find out.
Yeah. I figured out why he's your boy.
What's going on, your boy?
That makes him my Skeeter.
It's your boy.
Oh,
it's a boy.
He's definitely the bottom to my top.
He is a my Skeeter.
It's your boy Skeeter Claus, and I'm bringing an early Christmas to Free Talk Live in the form of a $2,350 value gift to all Free Talk Live hosts.
To show my somehow support. I doubt that.
Yeah.
It's an overvalued book that is right.
It's an open offer to all Free Talk Live hosts. I'm paying for your filing fees for renunciation of citizenship.
Oh.
So you can guys go be free,
you know what?
Somewhere else.
I remember this. I remember this now. Your last call that I took was you asking, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? And I thought to myself, that's exactly what we're trying to do here in New Hampshire. I did leave, actually. I left every other state that I've ever lived in to come to New Hampshire so that we can attempt to leave the freaking union.
You're stealing collective property. So if you join a collective
Hold on. By collective, you mean be born.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that's what you meant. If you join the collective, and by join the collective, I mean exist.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to give Skeeter props if he's actually going to put his money where his mouth is. Right? There's something commendable to that.
Hey, I'm down.
It's a real open offer. I will pay if you prove that you're going to renounce citizenship.
When you say you're down, Pequus, you're ready to renounce your citizenship?
Yeah, sure. Let's do this.
All right. Pequus has accepted your offer.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Easy. Okay.
I mean, I don't have the slightest faith that you will follow through, but I mean,
I guarantee you I will.
Put it in escrow.
Wherever you go. Wherever you go, you cannot complain about taxes. You cannot complain that it's
involuntary. See, now there's all sorts of caveats attached to it. You should lead with the caveats before you make the offer.
It's not a caveat.
If I take your money to renounce my citizenship, wherever I go, I can't complain about taxes. What if I end up in a place that has high taxes?
It's a logical consequence. Once you leave the U.S., you have to choose where you want to go. And when you choose, just like all immigrants, taxation is not theft.
Skeeter?
For all immigrants, even in the U.S., who chose to come here,
I have one question.
Is not theft. Can you agree with that?
No. I have one question for you.
No.
Where can I go on planet Earth that is not ruled by a government?
Wait, you can't ask a question when you didn't answer mine.
I can.
No, the answer is no.
When immigrants come here and agree to all the rules, is taxation theft for them?
Yes.
You guys are delusional.
Okay.
Depends how the immigrant got here.
If I put a knife to your throat and tell you, you can either hand me your wallet or I'm going to draw this blade across your... Let me finish the question. If I do that and then you hand me your wallet, you haven't chosen to hand me your wallet. You've just chosen between the two,
both of them violations of the non-aggression principle. Well, I would rather be stolen from than killed.
What if you had... Pickles, hold on. Pickles, what if you had the choice?
Talking to me. Why can't I address what he's saying?
Oh, hold on.
Because I want to address what he's saying.
I put him on hold again.
What if you had the choice between walking down, like, a well-lit road with plenty of people around you or the dark alley in complete darkness? And you chose the dark alley and then got mugged with a knife.
Then I chose the dark alley, but I did not choose to get mugged.
Okay.
All right. So, Skater, here's the thing.
Slaves,
no matter what plantation they live on, may look across the way and go, oh my gosh, those slaves have it better than me. And they will choose. They will choose. Oh my God, dude. Holy crap. Put them on hold again.
All right.
They will choose, like, the grass is always greener on the other plantation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? So, just because a slave of a certain plantation wants to escape their slavery and move to a plantation with slightly less slavery, doesn't make them any less a slave.
Yeah, and if a slave goes, you know, they don't beat their slaves as much on that plantation, and somehow they work it out that they get to go to that plantation instead, they haven't willingly given up their sovereignty as a human being. They haven't chosen to be a slave.
So, Skeeter, I decline your offer of payment for me to move to another slave plantation because I don't want to be a freaking slave at all.
I can only make one at a time.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, so the logical flaw in that is that slavers are not responsible for the other plantations. If there are zombies outside of my house and you're like, you were born in my house, I am not obligated to keep you there. Just because there are zombies and or other slavers or whatever harming you outside my house, other slavers are not responsible for other slavers. So if you choose to leave the house, you can either choose to stay or leave the house.
But you're offering to pay for us to leave the house.
Yeah, I think that's commendable.
Yes.
But I am saying no, I refuse your money because I don't want to be a slave at all.
Well, you don't have to be so angry about it. Just refuse his money.
You put me on hold. Let me talk, man. That is a very nominal fee. It's basically free. It's only $2,350 for a filing fee. And then there's no exit taxes after that because you're worth...
That's like 1 month's rent for a studio apartment.
I need to dump that with Ian. Would you stop interrupting me?
No, I won't.
And when...
How dare you give him a taste of his own medicine?
You guys don't give opposing sides fair time.
Oh, my God. We've given you so much freaking time, dude. I'm done. Done. D-U-N-N.
I wanted to hear him address Peakless's point.
Yeah.
Which point?
He'll call back next week.
The getting mugged in the alley.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you can certainly say it's unwise, and that's fair.
Yeah.
But just because I made an unwise decision doesn't mean that I gave someone permission to stab me or to mug me or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I get it. That's why I asked it. But if you were born in the alley, right, and you were getting mugged every day, and you went, man, that street looks nice. Right, and you went out onto the nicer lit street and then still got mugged.
You didn't choose to get mugged there either. You just chose to be in a less likely to get mugged, but still got mugged.
Right.
If you're not Skeeter and you want to opine on any of this, 603-283-6160.
Now, while we've got a moment, though, I would like to say that, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do words exist?
Yes, words exist.
Then rights exist.
Okay.
Wait, what is exist?
Well, and so that's kind of the tricky question here. So right. I wanted to get to make sure off the bat, okay, we can call it something existing if like there is a useful tool that operates by our agreement.
Like yeah. That's like asking, does math exist?
It's a little trickier than that.
Well, so
math has like its own existence inconsistency that is actually the foundation of all atomic physics.
I'm thinking of what is similar between math and words, like vocabulary.
Language, yeah.
Right? They're both human constructs.
Yeah, so it kind of mean like depends on what you mean by math. Like if by math you mean the relationship between things, that is not we make.
But
if you mean the way that we talk about it, then yeah, that's a social construct.
I'm just getting more at the human construct piece of like, words exist in that, like, you can write them down on paper, and if you've been taught how to read them, you can decipher them, and, well, you know, you can, like, I've been doing live reads, you
and
know,
again,
that kind of a thing.
Like the words, right, words exist theoretically as a useful tool for dialect.
Right.
Right. But, and I,
for communication,
I said,
yeah.
I said that about rights. I said they're a useful, like, language tool to, so we all know what we're talking about.
Right.
But they well, don't
so,
exist.
So rights actually have, number one, they do exist in the same way that words exist. Now, number two, what they allow is peace.
Like, well, the no. Whole, the concept of rights is not what allows peace. The defense of life, liberty, and property is what allows peace.
Well, no, the respect of rights is what allows there to be peace between us. Like, I respect your bodily autonomy, and you know that.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't have to think to yourself, oh, is Peekless going to stab me today?
I got it. But it's not because I have a right to life. It's because I have the life, and you respect that I have the life.
Which is your right.
It can be taken and attenuated at any time.
Yes, it can be.
Yes.
Rights can be violated. That doesn't make
good.
Them not real.
Well, it
so
makes them not
words
rights.
Can tell you a lie. That doesn't make them not real.
Right. Mm. And with the conceptualization of rights, though, they ought to not be attenuated because that removes the ability for them to be a right.
Sorry, you're going to have to say that in a different way.
The biggest problem people have with the Bill of Rights, specifically the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, is there's a claim that we have a right to free speech,
mm-hmm.
and then they attenuate it. And then they say we have a right to bear arms, and then they attenuate it.
What do you mean attenuate?
They diminish the right. They put caveats on it. They put limitations on it.
Mm.
You don't have an absolute right to free speech. You don't have an absolute right to bear arms.
Well, I do have an absolute right to property. And that includes bearing arms. That includes free speech.
You don't, no, because they will take it.
And that would be not right. That is a violation of the rights. That doesn't mean the rights aren't there. It means they're being violated.
Rights are inviolable.
Inviolable, right.
Yeah.
That's what doesn't exist. Inviolable rights do not exist.
Okay.
But rights do exist as a useful social contract, or
libertarian with the
social construct.
Okay,
what the hell's going on?
Yeah, a useful social construct that we can use to keep peace.
Yeah, I get it. And same with words; it's a useful social construct, so we all know what we're talking about.
Right.
And we know that not everything is described the same way.
And you can violate those words by telling lies.
But there's also like dozens of languages with different words for the same object.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Hour number two is next, including Is the American Dream Dead?
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.